Hey, Sister Amen.
What, Brother Tupos?
What'd we do today?
We glorified the Lord.
We tried. It's time for our edification audio. We hope you're all doing well. Yeah, we tried to glorify the Lord today. How did we start out?
Well, we woke up and I gave him thanks for the day.
Amen. That's a good start.
Yeah, and then we met with the brothers and we went to shine the light in a dark place.
Yeah, we went to a Mennonite church and we stood outside peacefully waiting for the religious service to end. We waited about 50 minutes out in the cold and nobody came to the door. They saw us there clearly. I looked in the door and nobody saw us there. Nobody came and invited us in, which we probably wouldn't have gone in, but it would have been nice for an invocation. Nobody came out to talk to us. And after their service, they all stood about for another 10 or 15 minutes. Nobody came out to say, hey, how are you? How can we help you? And what happened when they decided to come out, Sister Amen?
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
A cattle chute. As soon as you open the door, they all come busting out and running out into
the pasture. They must have had a plan, and their leader must have said, open the door, run out, get your car, and leave. Don't talk to them.
It was like the fastest exodus we've ever seen.
Literally, 50 people probably got in their cars and were gone out of the parking lot within 4 minutes. With children. Within 4 minutes, they piled out and left that way. Their elder leader guy walked right by us, didn't say a word. Virtually every man and woman walked by and didn't say one word. Mm. We said, we have Bibles. We love you. We want to talk the truth. We want to show you why you're being deceived by the Mennonite faith. We were nice. We were kind. You could see it all in the video. We have a video up called Osage Mennonite Church Exposed. We'll put the link on the edification page. We were calm. We were quiet. We were peaceful. We were loving. There's brothers there that were real calm and quiet compared to me. Nobody wanted to say a word. My brother Purgos was standing there with his Bible open, ready to talk about the Word of God, and people just blew right by him and ignored him like he was a nobody.
Yep.
And only one man stopped, took one gospel card, and he made excuses. And when I started to preach, he would talk to us for like 30 seconds or a minute. When I started to preach the gospel to him, he turned around and walked away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't even listen to the shed blood of Christ and his resurrection. He turned and he walked away. And it was a sad condemnation. No love. No love of God's truth. No love of people. No good witness. No patience. No long-suffering. No kindness. It was plain out wickedness.
Yeah, I was thinking about how they have respect to persons. I was thinking about James 2:2-3. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? We know the Anabaptists, they've even admitted it to us, they love their own.
Yeah.
They don't love their neighbor or their enemy.
Yeah, or someone that might be a brother and sister.
Or, yeah.
The doors opened up and I said, would you like to talk to people that love Christ and want to talk about Christ? And they blew right by us like they didn't even know us. Now, some people might say, well, they know about you. You expose them. Well, why doesn't their leaders refute me? Their leaders walked by like Revelation 21:8 cowards and never said a word.
How about this one? Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
Yeah.
They don't even think about that either.
They didn't say, you know what, come to our house, let's talk about this, why are we wrong, we'll show you why you're wrong. It was shameful. Check out the video. We got the biblical gospel on there. We got an Anabaptist track on there. Their false traditions, their man-made religion, their feminization, their pride, their vanity, their false gospel, their unloving. They are dead can be.
Yeah.
But we go for three main reasons we go. God's glory. We go for redemption, to love our neighbor. And we go to get footage and proof to put it on the internet. So when people go and test and look at these churches, they see our testing and they can see the fruit of these people and not get involved in them. So we love God, we love them, we love our neighbor. We don't want our neighbor to be deceived by them.
Right, exactly.
And our testings work. Google Anabaptists Exposed. Anabaptists Exposed. We come up number 1, 3, and 4 usually on Google.
Oh yeah, and plenty of people have told us and thanked us for the warnings of it, because they always assumed that the Anabaptists were like lifted up at a higher level, closer to God, closer to obedience and biblical holiness. But now they're seeing it's not the truth.
Yep.
They're just as dead as anybody else.
They literally left that building, and I said it on video, like a bunch of cockroaches when light shined on them, and they took off and ran like cowards.
Yeah.
All the men ran like cowards.
It was pretty.
Including their leaders. And I have to say it, there's a lot of gluttony in the Anabaptist world. We saw a bunch of fat people there.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. And how do you get fat? You eat too much and sit around, don't do anything.
We're talking excess.
Excess.
Yes.
Like two people in one body.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just shameful. They don't call out their own sin. They don't preach the gospel. They're dead as they can be, and they won't even test things to God's word.
Right.
It reminded me of Matthew 15, where Jesus said, they worship me with their lips. We heard them singing, and we saw them kneeling to pray, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are so far from God. It's an amazing thing to even behold.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
They have no love.
So the brothers that were with us, Brother Zelos, he's an ex-Anabaptist. He was amazed. The other brothers were like, wow. Ready? They said, we get better conversation with wicked Baptists and Lutherans than we do from the Anabaptists.
Yay.
And Mormons.
Yeah, that's true.
The Mormons will talk to you more than the Anabaptists will about the things of God.
Yeah.
They're wicked people.
Yeah, they are.
We're going to keep exposing them and warn our neighbor, and hopefully
One
or two of them come out to the saving of their souls.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. So after we got done with that, we went and hung out with the brothers and sister, and we found a nice warm place to hang out because it was pretty cold outside.
Yeah.
And this was our last day to be with our two young brothers before we head south, so I wanted to spend a lot of time with them, and we had that today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. You sisters hung out, walked to a store.
Yes. Yeah,
did you hand out gospel cards?
I walked to a store, and we walked, and the store was kind of busy in there, and we handed out a lot of gospel cards in there. Had a few, like, mini conversations to where it wasn't a whole lot of back and forth, but the women would say a couple things, and then I was able to give a few comments here and there as they were walking.
That's awesome.
By, so.
And then back at the marketplace we were hanging out, a lady walked right up and started... Brother Zello started talking to her, and you stepped up, and you and Sister Cara started talking. How did that go?
Yeah. Actually went pretty good. She said that she was up in her 80s.
Yeah, oh, wow.
So she seemed like maybe she had a hard time concentrating on some things, but then she said, wow, that's a lot. I've never heard before.
Yeah.
And then later when she was leaving, I gave her quite a bit of truth, and later when she was leaving, she thanked us, said it was nice meeting us, and... greeted everybody. So
yeah, so that was awesome.
Was nice,
so
yeah
a lot of ministry going out, a lot of gospel cards going out, some wicked religious places got exposed,
just doing the works of the Lord.
Yeah, and we got to do some awesome fellowship with the brothers, and we're making plans for our preach. I did get an email that I thought was interesting, worth mentioning. A man that's been following us for a while, and he asked me some questions about divine healing. And then he listened to our Ecclesia gatherings. I guess apparently a lot of people are listening to those and like them. We did one on jobs for Christians, and he asked me about some jobs. What did he ask me about? He asked me about firemen, nurses, healthcare, and accountants, and wanted to know my input on that. And it's going to be a nice email. It was a very respectful email. He covered the gospel. We seem to agree on the gospel. That's good.
Yeah, and not long ago, got another email from somebody who over the past many years just sends an email once in a while, thanks us for everything we do,
yeah,
and kind of comments on some of it. So
yep.
We don't know what people are doing with it all. We just hope to keep pouring out that God can use it maybe to convict, to help. I don't know. You know, I guess if you're convicted, seek deeper and maybe open up their eyes, plant seeds. And
yeah, so it's awesome. We know that people are out there watching. And I do have to mention, too, that we had kind of a sad thing we had to do. We had to part ways with a brother from another country. We never met him. And how close can we be that long distance? But he was saying he wanted to walk with us, have fellowship. He needed more accountability after 5 years of not growing. Well, it got to the place where he really wasn't contributing much. He really did not show any effort with the brothers. And when I asked him about it, he basically said, well, it's a lot to do all that stuff, and he's got other things to do. And he mentioned things like shopping and laundry that takes up his time to where it's hard for him to keep up with the brothers. And basically, Saints, if you don't love the brothers of Christ and the sisters of Christ, that's evidence you don't even have God in you. And so we had to part ways from this man. We love him. We hope he repents one day. But yeah, we have to be real careful about letting people in that don't love God and love the saints as they should, because that's demeaning to the Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should love his word and always have time for that. You know, some people have more time, less time, but you always should right. have time, because this is supposed to be our focus.
Yep.
Loving God, love your neighbor, love the brethren.
Yep. But yeah. all of us agreed that it had to be done, so he had mm-hmm. to be vetted out and put out. And so we're no longer associated with him. Here's something that's a common saying we hear. Ready? We hear a lot of people say this. They say they want fellowship and accountability. They come, they see the level of it, and then they say, I think I need to go and just go back and be in the Word on my own. And it's like, you don't draw close to God by leaving his people. You draw close to God by being with his people and being accountable and growing up and loving them. Everybody has this mindset, I'll just go be with God. I don't need to be with you. That's not what happened in Jesus' day. Jesus said, love each other, look after each other, care for each other, be your brother's keeper.
Right.
Help them, hold their arms up. This man's now left us. How's he going to love us? How's he going to hold up our arms? How's he going to see if my young brothers are doing well? He's an older man. These younger brothers need an older man's influence. How's he going to have anything to do with them now? He's going back to the Word, and he's not going to have nothing to do with these young brothers.
Yeah, and even though long distance, you can only do so much, there is so much you can do.
He was, for a short time, yeah. really encouraging the young men.
It's pretty easy to
Now, encourage. Guess what? These young men see that, they saw the communication I had with them, that the other things in this life's man are more important. And you know what these young brothers are now? They look and they go, I guess he didn't really care about us.
Yeah.
Older man, claiming Christ. But I'll tell you who he did care about. His worldly family members. He told me he would give money to his worldly children. And he told me that he talks to his family all the time. And he told me that he has regular relationships with them and all this, but not once did he communicate with my brothers on his own. I hope this is a condemnation to this older man, that he did not reach out to my young brothers to encourage them as an older man, and it was always him just joining our conversations, but he never reached out to make a call. I asked him several times to encourage young brothers. He never could, and it was just fruit that he was not with us, and I think it's fruit that there may be many things lacking in his life. I love him. I hope he repents. But it's something that we have to do in the body. Why? We have to keep leaven out of the body. And somebody that doesn't love brethren and doesn't want to be a good example and doesn't want to strive and try, they're leaven.
Right.
And the brothers see that. And I saw my young brothers were hurt by it. That this older man that they thought would be a good influence on them ended up not really caring about them because he didn't really put forth much effort towards them.
Yeah, that's shameful.
Yeah, it is. So I hope by saying these words, he listens to this and he hears it.
I hope
he's convicted. I hope he becomes a better believer. And I hope he strives on whatever he's doing. Our website is here for him, there for him. And so we forgive him. We love him. The young brothers are striving on. They're doing awesome. And we're all going to push on and keep going. I did get an email from somebody else that, or a communication from somebody else that wants to be united to us. So there's some possible hope there that they might want unity and come back. So
yeah,
we have all these
knows.
Things going on in and out, up and down.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of body life.
It is.
Yeah. What else, Sister Am, is going on today?
Not today. Tomorrow.
What's going on tomorrow?
Maybe sewing some panels on some of your shirts to make them long untucked shirts.
Long untucked shirts. Some people call them tunics.
Yeah, I'll be perching the sewing machine on the counter and trying to do that again and thanking the Lord for being able to do that, because I can whiz right through them a lot faster than hand sewing.
Amen.
But hand sewing is good too.
Yep.
That's a blessing when you can do it. So
amen.
That'll be awesome. Lord willing, if that works out. And then maybe a sister, another one of the sisters talks tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
We'll have to see how the day goes and if it works out that way. But
yep.
We plan on sharing some scriptures again. I think I might do some on trust. Looking up some scriptures on trust and things. So we'll see how that goes. That's kind of the plan. But
yeah.
And for sisters out there who try to make a plan and it doesn't work, it's all good, because let's rejoice in the work that the Lord puts in front of us each day.
Amen. Get done what you work. Get done and be thankful for that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get that done tomorrow, and then we're going to head to the next town where our brother and sister are already waiting there just down the road, and then we're going to make our plan, start heading south. Tonight, we gathered online, and we got some interesting audios in the Ecclesia Gathering area. One brother covered 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through verses 8. Another brother did 5 reasons he's not a Lutheran. I thought that one was really good. And then another brother did the promises of, he's working through, he already did the Gospels. Now he did the promises of Acts to the book of Galatians. And I did a study called Right Theology or Right Hand Theology. When you listen to that, I guess maybe it can confuse some people. I was talking about the right hand. The right hand doesn't mean literal right hand. You know, it says the Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of God. Sister Amman, does God have a right hand?
No.
No. What it means is he's at the hand of power, the side of power, authority, justice, goodness. And the left hand is the opposite, which means like Matthew 25, the sheep go to the right to be with Christ. The goats go to the left. It's kind of they go to the opposite way. So it kind of was relating the right versus the left, which is really good versus evil, light versus dark,
yeah.
Righteousness versus unrighteousness. So when you listen to that, keep that in mind. We're not talking about literal left and right. We're talking about good and evil, light and dark. But the Bible does use the term right hand,
yeah,
which means justice, righteousness, that side of God. And that's the side I want to be on.
Right, and I have a scripture verse on that. Before I
awesome.
Share that, I was thinking even the world uses the concept for them in politics,
yep,
the right and the left.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's
you
a
know,
right
conservative
side.
Conservative and liberal.
Yep, amen,
yeah.
Good point.
So here, I was kind of looking through some of these while you were going through them. Psalm 48:10, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. And I think that scripture verse kind of encompasses,
yeah,
both of what you were saying.
Right, yeah. And the brothers were saying, what that word right has different meanings, like a literal right hand, or it can mean justice and righteousness. That's the whole point. At the right side of God is justice and righteousness. And that verse right there has it. That word right hand means a literal right hand. And then righteousness means, well, we know what that means,
yeah,
justice,
it just
righteousness,
shows it in the
goodness.
Right hand. Yeah.
So, yeah, so we want to be on the right side of God.
Oh, yeah.
Because the opposite side is judgment and wrath.
We've been on the...
You could call it the left.
Left and wrong side.
The opposite
God,
and the wrong side.
Years,
evil,
yeah,
dark. We don't want to be on that side.
Right.
So, yeah, good verse. So, yeah, so we got a lot going on tomorrow. And then we're going to be making our travel plans. And we're going to be headed south, probably cutting our way out of southern Missouri, somewhere into Tennessee,
mm-hmm,
and working our way south to get to our winter preaching grounds, where a lot of events and better weather await us, because right here we're in a cold area, there's no events, nothing going,
yeah,
on outside,
right,
and so that's why we travel. As my brother Zelos just said, I ain't here to sightsee. We're here to travel to get to better grounds so we can preach and do all kinds of outside events.
Right. Yeah, we don't sightsee either. We see the sights as we're traveling from one town to another to,
right,
get where we want to go to be preaching the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So looking forward to tomorrow if the Lord gives it to us.
Right.
I just want to say sorrowful that I got to leave two young brothers behind. I'm really going to miss them. I love them. But I'm joyous they got each other. They're roommates. They work at the same company. They do ministry together. They study together. They're holding each other accountable. I couldn't be more thrilled that one brother doesn't have to be left all by himself.
Right.
That would
awesome.
Be painful for me to do that.
Yeah, they make a good pair out on the street, too.
They
wow.
do.
They do.
They were lifting up their voices. And yeah.
Yeah, they complement one another in strengths and weaknesses. And they do.
Funny
really
how
well.
God, not funny, interesting how God brings people together.
Exactly. He puts everybody right where he wants them.
Yeah. And I just want to cover something real quick, too. People tell us all the time, why do you do this? Why do you do this? Guess what? Street preaching works.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? I know two young brothers that are following the Lord today more biblically and more zealously because they saw a street preacher. I know a young brother that came out of the Hutterites, and he confessed to me that he saw a video of a street preacher that convicted him and said, why aren't we living like that?
Mm-hmm.
Calling out the world. And just this last event, Christmas event, I'm preaching and a young woman's walking down the street, a teenage girl, with a pizza in her hand. And I saw the moment and I was preaching and she stopped and she stared and she listened for 10 minutes. That's a long time for a 16-year-old girl to stand and listen to some street preacher. And Brother Zelos held up a gospel card. She came walking over, took it, and he said, go talk to our godly wives. And what did they do, Sister Amin? What'd she do?
Came right up and had an 8-minute conversation. I poured truth. Both sister gave her the gospel. I poured truth in, and then, yeah, she had to go because her ride was there.
I just want to share those stories with you. Street preaching works for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. If you're not part of God, don't want God, you love the world, and you're headed for the wrath of God, street preaching is going to make you angry. But for people that are hungry for the truth of God and the Holy Spirit pricks their conscience, it works.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be a puny few, but we savor the ones that do come.
Right. Amen.
And that's awesome. So I just wanted to leave that note. I do have a scripture verse. Romans 10:10-13. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a famous verse. Churchianity people love to say, all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. Go read the rest of the book of Romans. In context, those who call on the name of the Lord have repented. They're born again. They're walking in righteousness. They're enduring to the end. You don't just call on Jesus to be saved. Calling on him means you're living for him, looking for him, obeying, waiting for him. Amen, Sister Robin.
Yeah,
all the saints you know that would call on the name of the Lord for salvation, how do they live?
Holy, obedient, godly,
devoted
lives for him.
What if they live worldly, carnal, corrupt, unbiblical, and they called on the Lord for salvation? What would we call that?
God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners.
They would be hypocrites, too.
They'd be hypocrites,
So think about that when you hear that verse. Make sure calling on the name of the Lord is living for him, looking for him with all that you are. So anything else today, Sister Amin?
Love to the saints worldwide.
Amen. We're here for all of you. We hope your life is lived in a way that you can, with a clean conscience, call on the name of the Lord for salvation.
Yeah.
We're here to help you in all of that. Check out our website. Check out the gospel. Check out my brother's website, followthegospel.com. There's a link on the front page for that. Check out everything. We're going to have all the video of that preach and all the Ecclesia gathering will be at the top of the page. Why? We love God. We love our neighbor. Let us know how we can help you in the faith.
May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Amin. May God be praised always.
Amen.